Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. If you want to follow along on TV, as always, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined as always by Johnny Cake Sawville, Eric Bickle, and Jason Bishop. And joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, NBA Hall of Famer, for longtime executive, former player, drafted Michael Jordan, the great Rod Thorne joins us. Hey, Rod.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Oh, great, man.
Thanks for joining us
on the show. So cool.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Now, listen, we were talking about it beforehand a little bit. What's it feel like now with The Last Dance just absolutely blowing up, and you've had this unbelievable career, you're in the Hall of Fame, and yet there's going to be a lot of people, Rod, that know you most simply as the guy that drafted MJ.
You know, that's not a bad thing to be known for, to tell you the truth. We were very fortunate that number one, Houston won the coin flip,
right?
Back in that day, and Portland didn't win it because Houston would have taken Michael second. And we were fortunate that Portland had Clyde Drexler and did not think they needed another wing player. So the stars aligned in that year, and we ended up with Michael.
When I got two questions, I guess. When did Michael sort of show up on the NBA radar, where you were like, okay, this guy's obviously a prospect. We seen him hit the game winner, you know, his freshman year. We know how well he did in the summer camps. You're hearing rumblings about a kid, maybe. I don't know, even at that time, you might not have been hearing about high school seniors. Probably not. But when did he sort of get on your radar, Rod? And then when did you realize, oh, my God, we are going to get this guy?
He got on our radar when he got out of high school, to tell you the truth.
He did.
Played in an all-star game in Washington.
Okay.
In the old arena in Washington, and yep. It was like, wow, that's a pretty good athlete.
Capital Classic.
Oh, that's Capital the event you're talking about?
Yeah.
That was, the first time he got on my radar. It was, he obviously was the most athletic guy on the floor at that time. And I had always gone to North Carolina every year, became friendly with Dean Smith, and would go at some point in the year, late in the year, to watch tape of Carolina and also the other teams in the ACC. And Michael's junior year, when, he'd already been player of the year a couple of times, so he was on everybody's radar by then. In watching the tape, he stood out like a sore thumb. And when the day was over, it was about 5 o'clock, and I went in to talk to Coach Smith. And during our conversation, he said, I would never say it publicly because, that's not the Carolina way. But Jordan is the most talented player I've ever had. And North Carolina had some obviously incredible players over the course of time. So he was on our radar because he was such a he was such a talented player that he was on everybody's radar.
Rod, we talked about this before you came on, but if Portland would have taken Jordan at two, would you guys have taken Bowie, or did you have your eyes on Barkley or someone else in that draft?
You know, that's a very good question. And the answer is that we would not have taken Bowie because our doctor had red flagged him and said that he didn't feel that his leg, legs would stand up, to an NBA season. So Bowie was not in our, he wasn't in our sphere. Who I would have taken? I would have taken Sam Perkins because I thought Barkley wasn't big enough. We scouted Barkley a lot, and I kept it. Every time I'd see him, and it ended in the SEC tournament when they played Alabama, and Charles had a bad game, got into early foul trouble, and just did not have a very good game against a guy named Bobby Lee Hurt. Who went on to be drafted, but certainly didn't have that Charles's kind of career. But I just said the guy, he's so small. There's no way he can do in the NBA what he's doing in that SEC. And that would have been a mistake. Although Perkins was a very good player and had a long career and was very good, but Barkley was certainly an all-time player. So. Thank goodness it worked out the way it did.
So Rod, so you draft him, and then how long do you last? Remind me before I don't know if you leave on your own or they let you go. How many years were you there actually with Michael?
I was there during Michael's first year. The team was sold around the All-Star break. The All-Star game was in Indianapolis. That year, and over the All-Star break, the team was sold. So sometime in February, I don't recall exactly when in February, and the team was sold to the Reinsdorf Group, who still own it. And sometime in March, about the middle of March, I had several conversations with Mr. Reinsdorf, regarding the team and, what I thought about it and where we were going, et cetera, as, normally happens when you have a change in ownership. And he made the decision that he was going to go in another direction. And about sometime around the middle of March, he informed me that he would be going in another direction. So I was there for basically Michael's first year.
So for that year, I'm wondering, so obviously we remember, during The Last Dance, they highlight sort of the innocence of him, right? Like he lived in that condo with his mom or whatever or nearby, and the other guys were partying, that sort of thing. And then he was like, oh, I got to get out of there. But then at some point he transformed into from a naive guy to, I think those guys even said, like, in the third day of practice, they knew he was the best player on the team. When did he transform into the alpha male on the team and, like, it was his team and he was running things, in practice and just sort of he was the leader in the team huddles and that sort of stuff? Did that happen in his rookie year?
About the third game of the season.
Is that right?
we were playing by Milwaukee, and Milwaukee, during my tenure, had beaten us.
Right.
Virtually every time we played them, we could not play those guys. We had Artis Gilmore, and they would, Don Nelson, who was a tremendous defensive coach, if you can remember that during his early years in the league, and they would steal the ball from Artis seven or eight times a game and beat us. And we're playing Milwaukee in the third game. They have Sidney Moncrief, who's the reigning defensive player of the year, among others. And we're down 10 points going into the fourth quarter, and Jordan started scoring every time on the court. Nelson started double-teaming him. He still scored. Then he started putting three guys over on his side of the court. The guy still scored, and he brought us back, and we beat Milwaukee. And from that time on, Milwaukee beat the Bulls in the playoffs that year, 3-1, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was 3-1. But from then on, Chicago owned Milwaukee and just kept beating him. But by then, he was clearly the best player. He was his attitude, even when he was a rookie, and naive, as most rookies are, his attitude was, I'm the best player out here. Everybody knows it, and that's the way he played.
Rod, can you talk about the Isaiah Thomas dream team thing not happening? Because you were part of the selection committee, right?
C.M. Newton, the late C.M. Newton, who was at Alabama, the athletic director, then at Kentucky, was the chair of the committee. I was one of the members of the committee, and Russ Granick, the former deputy commissioner, was a non-voting member of the committee. We were charged with talking to the players when invitations were being extended. And I talked to most of them because I knew most of them a little bit better than Russ did. But he talked to some of them, and I talked to most of them. You know, everybody was interested in it. Michael's thing about it was that he had played. He didn't know if he wanted to play or not because he had played in the Olympics in 1984.
Right.
When Bobby Knight was the coach, and he had tremendous experience in Los Angeles, but he felt that it was for younger guys, and he had already done it. That was his initial reaction to it. But, you know, I tried to explain to him, as I did to the other players, that it was a once-in-a-lifetime type thing. The team was going to be one of the great teams of all time, and it would do a heck of a lot for basketball, et cetera, et cetera. And he agreed to do it. He didn't say that he would not play if Isaiah Thomas was on the team or any other player for that matter. At that time, nor ever did he ever say that to me. Now, was there with some of the players, there probably was some angst, with the bad boy image of, the Pistons. But when the committee met in Orlando, Florida, initially there were 5 or 6 players that were initially, these are the 5 or 6 guys that we need to have on the team. And it ended up with 10, as several other players were added over the course of, a couple other meetings we had, and then we had several conference calls over the course of the year, and Isaiah was not chosen. Obviously, he was a candidate. He was a great player, but he wasn't chosen.
Joined by NBA Hall of Famer Rod Thorne. He's now the senior advisor to the general manager. That's Tommy Shepard with the Washington Wizards. Talk about how Tommy's transforming this roster, and with John Wall back next year, hopefully it pays off some dividends and more wins having Beal and Wall together on the court at the same time, healthy.
Tommy has always done and is doing a tremendous job. The roster has been turned over to a degree over the last year and a half. John has, Wall has been out. Obviously, he's been an all-star player for the Wizards for a long time. Tommy's added Rui Hachimura, who's got a big future in the league. Mo Wagner had a good year for us, as well as Brown and some of the other players. But, we've got some real good young players. John coming back will certainly be a real impetus for the team. Beal had an unbelievable year. To average over 30 points a game in this league is unbelievable. And he's one of the top 2 guards in the league. And we've got another draft coming at some point in time, who knows when. And with Tommy's leadership, I think the Wizards are in good hands, and the future looks very rosy.
By the way, Rod was an executive with the Bulls, but also with the Nets. You pulled off the Jason Kidd deal. They went to the finals 2 years, didn't obviously get over the hump, but you've had a string of successes in your life.
Well, I've been incredibly fortunate, and I was in the league for 14 and a half years. I worked for the NBA as the head of basketball operations, which basically is in charge of anything that has anything to do with basketball on the court. And that was a great learning experience. So when I went to the Nets, I had gotten an MBA, if you will, in the NBA, working with David Stern and Russ Granick and those guys who were terrific. And my first year, we won 26 games, and we had talent, but it just didn't fit right. And I had known Kidd from Puerto Rico when the U.S. team was qualifying for the Olympics, and he was the catalyst for that team. Everybody wanted to play with him because he did all the little things. Plus, he passed the ball, so all those good players wanted to play with him. And I said at that time, if I could ever get him, I certainly would. And he became available. We had a great, young player in Stephon Marbury. And we ended up trading Marbury for Kidd. And Kidd gave us what we didn't have, a great defender, a great passer. He helped our chemistry markedly because we did have some, we had Kenyon Martin, we had Keith Van Horn, Kerry Kittles on the team, and our team took off. We went from 26 to 50-some, 51, 52 wins, went to the finals, played the great Laker team, and lost. And then the next year we went to the finals again and played San Antonio. And I really thought we had a really good chance against them. And we won one of the first two games. We were 2-2, and we lost like an 89-83 game in game five. And then they came back from 12 down in the fourth quarter and beat us in game six. But we had a tremendous team. And Kidd, one of the great players, great point guards ever.
Rod, man, it's been a pleasure. We could talk to you all day about all of these stories. Really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you, Rod. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Rod.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate
great,
it.
Great stuff. Right. Great stuff.
Thank you.
Yep.
Former NBA exec Rod Thorn, who is in the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame.
I was going to ask him if he overlapped with Jerry West at West Virginia. I didn't check the dates. I think they played maybe 1 year together, but
he's still a current NBA exec. I mean, he's right there with advising Tommy Shepard.
Yeah,
he's crazy.
He's still high up in the organization.
But JP, you're right. You could talk to Rod Thorn for days.
So many stories.
You know what Rod Thorn has over MJ? What's that? I read this correctly. Rod Thorn went number two in the draft.
He did, yes.
Oh, did he?
Back in 63.
MJ went three. He went number two.
Who drafts?
Who else is amazing? He's 78 years old, and his memory is on point. He's got a far better memory than ours.
Crushes our memory. Humbles it.
I mean, there's no way I would remember how many wins my team had in 1985 or whatever. I mean, it's just impossible.
I know. I know.
So props to Rod Thorn.
Amazing recall.
He's got a way better brain than all of us.
Yes, he does. All right, we've got to take a break. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. I was just perusing some sites during the break, and I saw on Larry Brown Sports that Big Ben Roethlisberger got into a little bit of a spat, a tiff, with Jay Glazer.
Ben Roethlisberg.
So Glazer said he makes fun of Ben all the time, and he makes fun of me about each other's, about their fitness and how, you know, if they're chubby and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Glazer said, it's a locker room. We get after each other. But he was upset by this. And Ben apparently called Jay Glazer and reached him out because it clearly struck a nerve when he was saying that Ben looked out of shape. I know that Ben has a monster beard right now.
Oh, yeah. He's got his quarantine beard going, or at least he did.
And he's a big boy.
I got to tell you, I think a lot of these guys are out of shape. I think everywhere. Like, again, just the only thing I can relate it to is, you know, when my kids, when we go out there, and my daughter, she's like, we're passing a volleyball around. She's, and I think she's doing great, but she goes, I don't feel right. You know, my touches aren't right. You know, she's getting upset.
Right.
And, you know, because she's not playing 5 days a week like she used to. It's just, you know, you can hit it against the wall all you want, or hit it with your dad all you want.
Not the same, right?
It's not the same. You can throw passes to high school receivers all you want. It's not the same.
It's not the same. And now they could run. Ben Roethlisberger doesn't strike me as a guy who would go out for runs.
Probably not.
He might balloon into a Jared Lorenzen, okay? Maybe not that bad. But Ben is a big boy. By the way, NFL coverage on The Fan presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. Save 20% on windows and doors during the month of May. Paul Henry's Windows. .com.
He's not going to be one of the guys, once he's done playing, that drops like 40 pounds and keeps
it. No, he's going to blow up like Al Lorenzen.
It's going to be in the opposite direction, you would think. Right. I mean, unless he makes a real, like, dedicated effort to lose weight and keep the weight on.
How about the story that Zion, who backed out, he's apparently backed out of a marketing deal with an agency, and they're suing him for $100 million.
Right.
But now that agency is saying that Duke paid him, Nike was paying him when he was playing at Duke. You know, they didn't really specify the amounts, but I guess we're not surprised. I mean, I wouldn't be
surprised
either way.
No. What I would be surprised is if it ever gets all the way to Coach K. So I'm sure he's insulated himself enough. He may know or have suspicion, but will it ever go all the way to Coach K?
I don't know.
I think, look, he's just like any other coach. Especially with him, he's a control freak. I got to think he knows everything that's going on. Now, maybe he turns a blind eye at some things, but he's got to know what's going on with some of these players.
Yeah, but he just strikes me as untouchable, and he probably has minions who deal with other minions who deal with another minion, and then he's, you know, third or fourth hand. He's so far away from any sort of money exchange.
Right.
I'm sure he didn't hand the money over.
Right.
No,
no way.
I don't see that, but wouldn't be surprised if he knew what was going on with certain players. I think all these coaches pretty much do.
But what you never hear from these guys, and I don't know why, maybe it's just some sort of code, you never hear these guys just fess up and just say, yeah, you know what, I got a truck, I got a whatever.
No, because it just causes more problems.
Yeah. It's embarrassing to admit you're taking money when you're not supposed to, right?
Yeah. You know what's a joke is that at one point they actually tried to play it like Zion was a good student and was considering coming back for a sophomore year.
Come on.
Right. Who was saying that?
Who on the planet would ever do that? When you're guaranteed to be the number one pick, you're being irresponsible. You're irresponsible if you go back to school.
Didn't Zion say that? He said if it was up to him, he would have done it, but it would have upset his parents too much.
Right. I believe that not at all.
I actually believe him because he just figured he would get his money. He was in no rush to get his money, and he was having a great time. The problem is he didn't have any choice because it was just too much financially to risk. Like, you can get all the insurance things you want, the endorsement potential, all the money out there. It would have been irresponsible to come back. But I do believe him that he loved college. Probably hated classes, but who probably Who cares?
Probably didn't like losing. Who'd they lose to? Michigan State and D.C.
Yeah,
in that
I
year?
So. I remember endorsements. I remember what those were like. Now, of course, they're not nowhere near the level of a Zion Williamson endorsement, but I remember endorsements. Those are called the good old days.
Right.
Well, you're still getting a few.
You're still getting some.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what.
I have more.
I have an endorsement, a new one, as you guys know, with Offenbachers, right?
Yes.
And it's all because of Offenbachers that I'm doing this fire pit show. The fire pit show, it's going to happen sooner rather than later. The fire pit, the reason why we have to deal with Offenbachers is because I agreed to do a fire pit show.
All right.
Okay? So I got to do it. I'm going to have to do a test run this one of these evenings because the first hour of the show, it's going to be pitch black.
So the deal was fire pit show contingent?
Yes. Yes, because
that's
I'm going to.
Funny.
Well, that's because I'm the king.
And they're going to get a four-hour free commercial.
Well, yeah, because I'm going to show off my furniture.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You can see in the background, you'll be able to see the hot tubs. That was part of the deal. I got to do a test run. I realized I bought 100-foot Ethernet cable so I can be wired in the whole time.
Uh-huh.
But it just dawned on me, I need one not only for the Comrex, I need one for my video.
Order another one, Ricky.
Yeah, I got to order another one or a coupler and put two together. Right, Drabby?
And then you're going to need a big
power. The longer you wait on doing the show, the hotter it's going to be outside and the less need you're going to need for that. Hot tub's fine, but the fire.
Well, I'm going to still make fire.
Why don't you just wait till June or July?
Well, because it is actually
hot and humid outside.
Well, no, it'll be fine. But I'm actually a little bit nervous about it because it's a big undertaking.
Well, why don't you do the dry run this week? Because it'll be cool for the next few weeks.
I'm
going to
do the dry run and then
the dry wood run.
And then once I do the dry, and I have to have no rain because I don't want to get electrocuted. You know?
Although if you do that,
blind melon,
do it during the show, not during a commercial break.
Yes.
Well, yeah. So, Drabby, that's all I need, right? I need two Ethernet cables and then power. I need a couple long extension cords
and an Ethernet coupler. You'll be fine.
Yeah. And then I need lighting. I'm going to bring some lighting out there, so in that first hour, it looks pretty good. And after that, I think the sun will come up. But here's
about,
the other thing.
Yeah.
Sun was up early today. I don't pay attention that much, but I think it was light by like 6:15.
Before that.
Yeah, it was light early.
I might not need it as bad. But here's the thing. I want to do it so that you could see the fire, you know, a little bit, at least the pit and the chairs. The smoke's going to get in my face at some point, so I'm just going to. So after a while, I'm going to pull it up so the smoke doesn't get all in everyone's. You know what I mean? Like, you could see it, but then, you know what I mean?
You out of this deck.
I'm going to smoke me out, or I'll have to be dodging it all the time. I don't mind laughing about it for a segment or two, but then we'll have to put it in front of the fire pit.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that's all I'm thinking.
But the smoke is just going to be attracted to you for the entire 4 hours.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be one of those deals where I'm going to have to be, you guys are going to bear with me as I'm doing that and
dodging
the smoke.
It.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But anyway.
So is your entire deck and everything, that's all done?
Everything, all that's done. It's just a matter of furnishing. It's got so much square footage, though. It's just, you know, I'm going to go broke furnishing the thing.
Right.
So I've only got like.
Take a picture of it and send it to me because I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
The finished product.
Yeah, no, it looked pretty good.
And I want to see the hot tub, too.
I'll put it up.
It's an upgrade from the Lanham deck you had in Seabrook, Maryland, Jason.
Which one? The one that fell over?
Yes.
That collapsed, or the new one that Skippy built?
No, the one that fell over.
By the way, Skippy and I talked a little bit over text this past week.
Oh, you did?
You guys are
finally
building that bridge again?
He was mad about something I said on text. He took it the wrong way, and then, I don't know.
Oh, really?
He's a stubborn mule.
So you guys basically broke up for 3 months because of a text.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long story. I'll tell you. But if you're really interested, I'll tell you about it off air. But we finally talked. And actually, Horsey's the one who kind of got us back together on text.
He was the mediator?
Really?
Yeah, because he called us because he wished us happy birthday on the same text chat. And he said, you guys are idiots for, you know, you guys have been lifelong friends forever. Now you won't talk. It's stupid.
So I'm dying to know what you said that he took offense to.
All right, you want me to? I'll tell you. I'll go to the text.
I'm going
to
see if I would take offense to it.
All right, hold on. Let me just get back to it.
By the way, those things, it's weird. Like we've talked a lot about Michael Jordan and The Last Dance. It's been publicized that Jordan and Charles Barkley, who were boys, they quit talking to each other because Barkley on Inside the NBA, where he sounds off on anybody, just grilled, I think he called them a bunch of yes men or lapdogs, you know, the Rod Higgins and all the executives, and saying they needed to fire them all because, you know, the Charlotte was so bad. And then Jordan just quit talking to him.
Right. Do you guys really care about this? Because I'm boring the listeners.
No. I just, you don't have to do the whole interaction, but what was the one thing you said that upset him?
All right. Well, the little backstory is on February 16th, I said, a lot of games today, Skip. Let's talk.
Right.
He goes, I'm up in the mountains. I'll call you when I'm going home. And then I didn't hear from him that day. I said, you're awfully quiet. The next day, I go, you're awfully quiet. Didn't hear from him. I said, awfully quiet again the next day. He goes, I'm busy. That's what he said. So I said, blah, blah, blah. You're not that busy. You can call me up.
He took offense to that?
And then the next day, didn't hear from him. And then I said, dude, what's going on with you? No one just falls off the map like that unless there's something wrong. I said, let me guess. You got fired.
Oh, that's what did it.
But I was kidding. And then he goes, no, I'm dealing with stuff with my mom. She's moving. And I just said, I'm not buying it. And then he goes,
oh, my God.
Then he goes, not sure what you're not buying. That's what's going on. And then I just, I'm like, we talked twice a week or twice a day for weeks, and now I don't hear from you. So he went dark on me, and that was February 24th.
Well, you just had like a –
Is it that offensive?
Not really. I mean, because you guys are lifelong friends. So, right. I mean, that's stupid for him to be offended by that.
I don't know why, because he knows I was just joking.
Yeah.
Yeah, but deep down, and you know
why. Because maybe
you
were right. You probably were down, right.
But I think that something was going on with him.
No, deep down beneath the surface, without getting that specific, he's had credibility issues in his life.
Right. Well, that's why Jason might have nailed it.
Right. But when Jason challenged him, it hit home.
But here's the deal. Whenever he just drops off the map like that, drops off the radar, something's going on, and he just won't tell me what's going on in his life. So I just said, that's why I'm not buying it. But he said it was just, you know, not a big deal. He just took it the wrong way.
You're prying.
He just took it the wrong way. It's fine.
All right, we got to go to break. One more segment.
I told you I was going to bore the listeners.
No, you didn't bore me. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV? Remember, you miss any part of the show, you can always hit the rewind button on radio.com, the radio.com app, and go back in time. Had Rod Thorne on earlier this hour. If you missed that interview, he was very engaging, very good. Longtime NBA exec now, actually a consultant with the Washington Wizards, and had a lot of Michael Jordan stories and NBA stories. So you can always use that rewind feature. Just to rewind on my week off, it was nice just not having to wake up. Didn't really do anything differently. I told Jason on Saturday, I had a couple projects in mind, like around the house.
Right.
Didn't do them at all.
Didn't
I think
them.
I heard Cakes mention this maybe when you did a show on the weekend a few weeks ago, how like you wanted to clean out the garage or maybe a room.
Yeah.
And you just never got around to it. It's kind of the same thing. Like
yeah, same deal.
I got a storage room that's about 10 feet away from me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's storage room, so it doesn't matter. You close the door. I don't need to look at it. But it's not organized, and half of the stuff, there's no reason to even be in there. So I just didn't get around to it. But one thing that I did do, beyond the haircut, finally pulled the trigger and used the Clippers. One of our most famous contests on the show was the Reggie Bush contest.
Oh.
Game changer. You know what? Because I've always maintained with just scissors.
Yeah.
Well, now I've got Clippers and a guard. Oh. So I just used for my head, I used
you
the use two.
You used that for your Johnson?
Yeah, for the head, I used the two. But yeah. For down there, I used the three, and it's like, it's
well, who's
it's
ever
going to
use those guards now?
It's just for me.
Just
me.
For him.
It's just his.
He, you know what? He marked his territory.
You can have hurting pubes.
You need two. You need two Clippers.
Yeah. You need one for your Johnson.
It's not, yeah. What difference is it make?
Hey, but
you use the little brush and you clean off the blades.
This is gross.
It's right, peace, well, it's peace of mind.
I can see that for the above-ish area. Never quite figured out how to do that, silly. I don't know. I agree with you.
It's difficult. But what you do is shaving cream and your regular razor. Oh. You just got to be careful.
Oh, I could never do that. I nick my chin. I would never.
I do think that the Clippers, you know, yeah. EB's got, what's your method? You always talk about you just hack away.
I hack away like sugar cane. I just.
Hack.
You yeah. do it like a machete.
Yeah, like I'm on Naked and Afraid.
Right.
Right.
That the Clippers with the guard, and by the way, here's the deal, is I won't use, okay, the Clippers will be reused for the head, but the head I use the one and the two.
Right.
For down south, below the belt, I use the three.
Dude,
but now it's all even. It's not, you got your Patch Adams, EB, down there.
No, I think it's pretty good, but it's not. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure yours is better. You know, sure
I mean, I think I.
Let's
did.
Ask Jess. Let's ask Jess if it's better.
I think I did win the Reggie Bush contest, or Valdez won. It depends
yeah,
on
won.
How you look at it.
I think Valdez was the
Valdez
big winner.
Won. No, we wanted to have the bigger Reggie.
Right.
He had a bigger Reggie.
Yeah, so he had the biggest.
Look at
he had
Reggie.
The biggest Devin.
Yours was the most like porn star-ish.
Right.
You know, which is gross.
From 1978.
Yeah,
yeah, but I've never raise your hand if you've ever done it bald. That's like porn star.
Wow,
like,
that's serial killer territory. No, who would do that?
17 years ago.
You not, did?
No. I shaved my chest 17 okay. years ago, and all it did was highlight my blubber.
Well, that's
it was,
pretty bizarre, too.
Because, like, my chest was okay, but then, like, my, you know, I have something that goes down to your stomach and stuff, and then it just made me just look like a big
was that during your peak bodybuilding phase?
No, it was way past it.
Okay.
Way past my peak. That was kind of the problem.
Yeah.
But you've never been, I mean, I haven't seen you without a shirt on in years, but you're not, like, a hairy dude.
No,
like, you don't
but
have much hair in your chest anyway.
Correct. And so I thought it wouldn't be a big deal.
It still looks weird.
It looks weird, like because you know you have some chest, you have just like hair on your stomach and stuff, and then when you take away that can kind of hide your lack of abs. I mean, kind, you know what I mean, kind of. Then you shave all that, and then it's like all you see is just blubber.
Everything's
I don't
laid
even know.
Bare.
Cakes, I'm guessing, Cakes, you've got a ton of chest hair, right?
It's a good amount, yeah.
He's a hairy dude, yeah.
It's solid amount. I mean, it's not grotesque, but it's not a little.
Dude,
you know what I mean?
Right. I'm gonna send you guys a picture, and no one has permission to reprint this or repost this. Okay,
right.
My father-in-law took a picture of me. Like you guys see me right now, right? Look, this is how
right.
I look. This is how
right.
I normally look. He got a picture of me where I have a double chin.
Right.
It looks like I look like I'm 100. I'm gonna put it right now on the Hangout.
When was the picture taken?
Huh?
5 minutes ago.
It was taken yesterday.
Oh, okay.
And it got me. So I think I was like burping or something. I was drinking a Jack Chalker, drinking a Jack and diet.
Mm-hmm.
And here you go. Will this work? How do you? Yeah. Okay. Let me see. Does this work?
So you got a link. You just put it there on the Hangout.
Yeah. And I'm just gonna hit here. Look at this. Oh my God. See that? Look at that. Look at my chin.
See this?
I've never seen a picture like that.
Well, see, it's just the way you're tilting your head.
Yeah, but zoom in on the chin.
That's exactly why when somebody asks why I don't go fully clean shaven, that's mm-hmm. why. That's exactly why.
Yeah, but I don't look like that.
I know, but I need a little bit of scruff.
But we're
on his big face and head.
We're just old, big, fat hair.
Jason, that's the worst picture I've ever taken in the history of mankind. Are you
There's
looking at
no
that?
Way anybody who doesn't know you, okay?
Yeah.
If you just found somebody independent,
what are you grubbing
streets,
on there?
There's nobody Chinese who would think that you're below 65. There's impossible.
Not in that picture.
Yeah. Look at that picture.
There's a lot of Joan in that picture.
No one has the right to repost that. I will just sue all of you.
Come on, let us post it.
Sue everybody.
They just want to.
By the way, you sent that on purpose 1 minute before the show ends because we could do 4 hours on that picture.
No, because I literally just found it.
Is it possible that one person on the planet would look at that picture that didn't know him and would think he was under 65?
Who eats Chinese outside when it's 80 degrees out?
Impossible.
We had, I told you we had a social distancing Mother's Day outside thing.
Where was that again? Where was that?
That was at my mother-in-law's. Here's another picture.
That's the Chin's backyard.
Oh, that's the Chin's backyard.
Hey, do they have no fence? They don't even have one fence?
The double Chin's backyard. Yeah.
dollar store sunglasses.
Look normal. No, those are Oakleys, thank you. You know,
they look like Folkleys from a flea market.
Yeah, you look like you got it out of a cereal box.
Come on. I was telling my son, those were cool like in 1996.
All right, we got to get out of here.
See you tomorrow, boys.
Granddaddy next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.